Hey, welcome everyone to another episode of Investing Counterpoint. And today is March 7th, 2023. And we had a lot that we could talk about today. Powell was in front of the Congress today and talking inflation. So what we're going to do today is, Daniel, we're going to talk about inflation. And, you know, I think that there's two key quotes that I'd like to bring up from Powell that he said today in front of Congress, which indicate that rates are going higher because they don't feel like
which is what we said for the short life of this channel for the few months, that they're not going to stop. People underestimating the probability of these higher for longer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the date of that episode, but it's a few months back now, and it seems to be somewhat correct at least. But two quotes from Powell, which I think are moving the markets most today. The first one is, the latest economic data have come in stronger than expected, which suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates is likely to be higher than previously anticipated. And remember, they published those dot plots, and the dot plot kind of has moved up another 25 basis points. And that 25 basis points up to 550 is 100 basis points higher than it is today. So that's a lot of tightening to occur, possibly all in 2023. And then the second quote here is, if the totality of the data were to indicate that faster tightening is warranted, we would be prepared to increase the pace of rate hikes. Keep in mind, they increased them pretty fast. It's not like they've been lollygagging.
Well, that sounds like a threat.
Almost, right? Yeah. So,
Daniel, what do you think? I don't know why this is a surprise, because he kept saying essentially the same thing over and over again. I don't know why people don't believe him. It's like, it's not, you know, there are many, many problems with the Fed, but the, you know, Fed fooling the markets, you know, or doing not what they say is not one of them.
Yeah.
They might destroy the middle class, which they have done. They might destroy the demand and the economy, which they're probably going to do, but they're not going to hide it. So you have to give them that. They're pretty open about what they said. And, I will show one chart right away that is very, very simple, but I think it's pretty important to understand what's going on here. It's a chart of CPI. And we all know that CPI changed over the years, that it is probably vastly understated right now, like with all these caveats, but very simply, this is a chart of the various measures CPI over time. Look what jumps out here. When we had big jumps in inflation, I'm going to disregard this period because I don't know, this is a World War One. This is a kind of a period.
The depression going on there.
Yeah, the prices did go up during the war. But looking at even though the World War II, which is not the best example, because again, it's a war scenario. Hopefully we're not in the World War yet. But you see, when inflation goes up, it then goes down and then goes back up again. And this is not a fluke. It happened a number of times. Look at the 70s, like I think 60s and 70s are very similar to the scenario we're living through because it is a supply shock, right? We all know that Milton Friedman wrote that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon, but just like every oversimplification, it's horrible. You know, I think I used to love his stuff, but until I actually started analyzing the financial markets and I realized that it's just a bunch of baloney. Inflation is not just a monetary phenomenon. It's much more complex. So 1970s and today, you can see that a big part of the inflation is the supply shock. So monetary phenomenon is only the necessary, but not the sufficient part. It becomes sufficient only when like Weimar Republic type printing, right? So you have a situation now that's similar to the 70s, and we should look at that. Look, inflation started going up after, you know, 1960s were the period where United States became a superpower, right? Essentially dominated the world. 1960s, by the way, was a time when banks were extremely heavily regulated. They could not do a lot of the stuff that they're, you know, they've done in the last couple of decades. But then the inflation started going up and then it dipped. It went back up again and it dipped again and it went back up again. So there was at least two major head fakes throughout that period, 1970s, when inflation looked to be moderating, but it did not. And I think you hear that, you hear Powell referring to that, a number of times. You know, this is what we're seeing, right? And I think we're seeing that again. We're going to see that again. And in fact, we already have seen it on the shorter time frame. So Powell knows that chart. You know, obviously, he talks about it. The fact that inflation moderated somewhat led a lot of people to conclude that, oh, yeah, you know, the hikes are over. No, they're not over, and they cannot be over, if especially with Powell trying to sort of, really imitate Volcker and kill the inflation. These hikes will continue. You know, the beatings will continue until the morale improves. And
I was going to say, let me tell you about a couple other things that he said. And, you know, one of the things that I would argue with you about, the last point, is I think that the United States became a superpower in 1940s when they dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima. And that was like kind of the big, that really shifted the balance of power until Russia and others got it. But anyways, that's not what this is about.
Yeah. We could argue that there are a few periods that could be qualified as U.S. becoming a superpower. But yeah, I agree. In different senses, though, but 60s was when U.S. became the absolutely dominant economic power of
economic superpower. Yeah,
I would say the only superpower economically, right? Not militarily, but economically.
Right. So Powell said a couple things. He said, one, he changed the definition of inflation. He intimated that the key gauges of inflation are the ones excluding food and energy. And that's different than when he was in front of Congress last time. So not looking at food, not looking at energy. So these decreases in food prices and energy prices are not counting for what he's calling this core inflation. And that's, you know, services and travel and things like that. And he also said that the labor market needs to soften. So does that mean, which is crazy. I mean, he's kind of saying, what's that?
Criminal, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, that's
to fix whatever he's trying to fix without killing the labor market.
Well, I think they're balancing a tightrope.
Full employment, right? But yeah.
Well, he said, so I guess there was a senator that pushed back and said, you know, that's going to cause inflation at 10%. And he pushed back and said, no, we can do it without, you know, we can do it softer. So I don't know what that means. And he's not, you know, as far as I know, I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing, but I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know what an acceptable, like, you know, unemployment rate is, or, you know, employment rate. But we do have a jobs report coming out on March 10th, and we have a CPI report coming out on March 14th, which are going to be very, very instructive. But, you know, I think what we can see is the way that the markets reacted. They fell immediately in the wake of these comments, and the yield curve is inverted, you know, even more just today. But from the end of the year to now, the yield curve almost impossibly is inverted even more than what we saw. So if we have a chart here that I can show of the curve, you know, what I'm showing here is from Bloomberg. This is the green line is today's yield curve. And this is the peak at about 6 months. And it kind of falls off into 10 years, 20 years, and then 30 years. This lighter line is the yield curve shape as of 12/31/2022. So end of last year. So just, you know, just over 2 months ago. And
it inverted even more.
Look at these numbers on the short end.
Unbelievable.
I mean, 70 basis points, you know, on the what, like, look at this 1 year move, and look at what the 10-year has done. I mean, the 10-year is up a little bit, but you're talking microscopic, and the 30-year is down. I mean, this is almost an impossible, you know, you look at this yield curve, and this was really inverted.
This is screening recession too. I don't know how we're not in one, but yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, these really high interest rates are really, they have a big effect.
Well, I'll tell you what is really shocking me here, right? The fact that the Volcker is doing what he said he was going to do is not a shocker.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that inflation didn't moderate is absolutely not a shocker. What's shocking me is the degree to which people don't realize how different the environment is today from anything that we ever saw. Like, I already talked about similarities, but the difference from Volcker from 1970s is the debt. I mean, I'll show you a quick chart. This is only U.S. corporate debt, excluding financials.
Yeah.
It stands at $7.5 trillion. If you include financials, it's over $10 trillion in the corporate debt. Okay. Now, granted that it's not, this is all maturities and it's not necessarily shorter maturities, right? They did some long end borrowing. Also, the yield curve inversion helped the Fed to try to extend the maturity a little bit. But the problem was with US debt, the maturity was already so low. I mean, something like half of your US debt matures in 3 years, effectively, right? So how are they going to keep these rates for longer, higher for longer, if you have over $10 trillion of corporate debt, plus you have the government debt that is short, that short maturity, that's maturing soon? These interest rate payments are incredible. And then add into that the global indebtedness, because increasing rates in the US has an effect on the whole world.
Yeah,
dollar is up today. You know, to me, when he says that he needs to wait for the labor market to soften, he's going to kill the labor market. He's not going to soften it. There's just no way about it. And there are really, like, economically, there are two ways to fight inflation always. One is that you try to expand the output. You have to try to increase the productivity and you try to create some more demand. But you create, you know, you create demand and you create supply, right? You create more supply, you create more goods so that the price drops. Like China reopening was supposed to help with that. It was really supposed to help. So, but it seems to me that for whatever reason, I think historians will explain it better than me, he's bent on demand destruction, right? That's a second way to fight inflation. Yes, you can always fight inflation by destroying demand, just like you can always stop a headache by using a guillotine. You know, that is a, like 100% sure far way. I just don't understand why they're doing that, right? I have some ideas, but you know what? Write in the comments, you viewers. By the way, we had one video lately on the just off the charts, got 8,000 views in our young channel. You know, a lot of comments. So in this video, write a comment. Tell me, why is Powell cutting the head off the US economy and world economy? Does he not realize the debt maturities? What is he thinking? Because Volcker didn't have to deal with such a kind of debt, right? Why are they doing it? Write in the comments, please.
And one of the things you know, that's important about that chart is debt as a percentage of GDP, and it's going up in the same way. You know, that doesn't help things. You know, so you look at that chart, and you always have to worry about, okay, well, that's absolute dollars. You can't really compare that, but you can compare debt to GDP, and that is still off the charts today.
Well, how is he going to do that? I mean, housing is crumbling, labor market, he admits that he's crushing it himself. How are they going to increase the GDP? How are they going to, you know?
Well, I mean, the problem for Powell is, you know, I'm not sure how much, you know, control he has over supply. So, you know, this is really his lever. I mean, he can increase supply. He can ask policymakers to do it, but that's not in his control. So this is the quickest way to do it. Supply.
Today, you know, he was in front of Congress. He was in front of the very people who could help with that.
Yeah.
And he didn't say a word about it. He's just like, you know, we're going to shock you.
The beating. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So anyways, I mean, I think this is going to be a little bit of a short one today, but let's see what happens with the markets. You know, this is not a short-term problem. It's not going away. It's going to last at least through 2023 into 2024. And what we really have to watch is what the effect on the economy is, what the effect of, you know, do they print money to make these, you know, shorter-term debt repayments? Do they just issue more debt at these higher rates? I mean, it's kind of this endless cycle of indebtedness.
Yeah. What are the, you know, and right now, honestly, like we do a lot of risk management. We create a lot of scenarios. And to me, this is not even a scenario analysis. It's like there's a train headed for a cliff. You know, you have to figure out the only thing is that maybe they'll blink, right? They blink in the past, maybe they'll blink and they'll turn around, or at least stop this train. And so write in the comments what you think. We were going to come back to that in the next video, and next video will be about crypto. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, and we'll hope to see you soon on the channel.
So, you know, that reminds me, Daniel, you talk about going off a cliff, but if you remember back to the Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoons, and the Wile E. Coyote would have a big rock and he'd put it over the road, or he'd draw a road going into the rock, and then he'd draw a tunnel that was going through the rock.
Like a 3D, you know, very realistic one.
Yeah, very realistic tunnel. And Roadrunner would come to the rock and he'd go through it. And the coyote would look around and say, you know, how did that happen? And go back and try it. And he would smash into it. So the economy is either going to be the roadrunner and get through this, or it's going to be the coyote and it's just going to smash into it. There's really, you know,
that's an awesome analogy. I wish the designer already created the image for this video. It would have been much better with the Wile E. Coyote. I'm not sure if there's copyright issue.
We might run into copyright stuff, but
all right. Take care, everybody. See you next time.
All right. Bye.